Hey, sweetie.
I pull it to
you. Oh, no.
You know, that's what it is. It's basketball. It's not a soft sport.
I'm going to be a man, and if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. This man just gave me a job. I'm not signing that shit.
There's a lot I got to say, but I ain't going to do it here because it's free today. I ain't going to curse.
All right. Andrew, we're back. NBL Pocket Podcast. Joseph Core is my name from Stats Perform Media and other outlets. I'm joined by
Andrew Kenyon from a website, andrewkenyon.com. That's just where I live.
Long on the internet. NBL fan. Very thoughtful NBL fan as well. So at Andrew Kenyon on Twitter. Follow him, why not?
Why not?
Quickly, Patreon, Booktopia. It's all the links in the description. I hate doing that spiel. And I know people hate hearing it as much as I hate saying it. But it's there nonetheless.
Just buy something and then you have to stop. You won't have to keep saying it. If people would just do the right thing, buy some stuff. Solve the problem.
Or,
subscribe to Patreon.
Some strange wealthy millionaire just goes, you know what? We'll give you a whole bunch of money to do the podcast. Either or. I'm easy.
It's a good deal.
No peer pressure. We're going to chat about this Carter deal with United. We're going to talk about Adam Ford, Matt Nielsen, Kiefer Sykes, Vic Law, Jarrell Martin, the odds that have come out courtesy of the TAB, a bit of preseason games and the schedule of the first five games, and then a bit of taxation stuff.
Oh, that'll get people staying on to the end, won't it?
Woo. I thought about putting it at the top of the program, but I moved it to dead last instead. But
you're
it's an interesting question.
Bearing the lead. Come on. Who doesn't want to talk tax?
Let's talk about this Carter thing. And the guy's name, kid's name is Narzaya Carter, nephew of rapper Jay-Z. Do you know Jay-Z, Andrew? You a fan?
I'm too old. Who's Jay-Z? Is he, you know, like, what sort of music is that?
Have I ever told you that I'm a rapper?
Really?
Yeah, a rapper of, you know, Leftovers and mainly Glad Rap, Tinfoil sometimes.
The Minty's rapper, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, no, I am way too white to know Jay-Z. Just realistic.
I know of him.
I'm like whiter than Eminem. Yeah, if people saw me coming, they'd be like, you have no right to be listening to any of that kind of music. Don't even kid yourself. Go back, put your country music on and sit your butt down.
This signing is interesting. But having said that, I don't listen to the music, but I can see the appeal of, ooh, you know, this guy's a big rapper and this is the nephew. I can see the connection and the possible, notoriety of it. Was apparently finalizing a deal or reporting is around a deal with United via ESPN, Olgun Yulit. This is interesting. This is an odd one and why I say, and I'm going to go on a bit of a rant here, but the allegations against this kid are pretty serious at the University of Washington, but I think it's really important to make the distinction that no criminal charges have been laid at present. It's all about he's in breach of the University of Washington's college handbook on sexual misconduct, not anything criminal. There is a distinction there. I think that's important to make.
That is important.
My question is, though, how do the two differ? And if so, by how much and in what way? I haven't read the University of Washington handbook, but I'm also willing to bet that those, because there's been a bit of outrage about this almost signing, but I'm willing to bet that those who are sort of upset with the reported signing haven't read it either. And that's an important distinction to make, before you throw away the reputation on a 21-year-old kid. Did you read the report, Andrew? What did you think when you read it?
I've read the articles, and that's as much as I've read. I've read the articles about the actual report, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
One of hearsay, and to try and get to the actual truth of the matter was a bit of a challenge, and it seemed like it took a while for that to come out. And I don't have time to go digging into, innuendo and stories and who said what, and I'm not an investigative journalist in that way. But it's, I guess for me, it comes down to what is the Next Stars? And you talk about him being related to Jay-Z and all that. Is the Next Stars a development pathway for potential stars, as it's named? Mm-hmm. Or is it a marketing tool to support ticket sales and bums on seats at games? And I think the two are different.
It can't be both?
The NBL would probably like it to be both. But I think, there's dangers if you start seeing it in that way. And I really think the program is best if it's focused on basketball talent. not.
I don't know. I can see it both ways. I think when guys can impact the floor, it's a handy. I think it's two things, and I think it can operate as these two things. I think it's a tool for teams to get better and get a guy like Didi or this Justinian Jessup. Looks like he might be able to contribute as well.
Yep.
Or it's a bit of promo for international notoriety, and also I think cred more than actual pathway, all that stuff. I don't see it as that. If a kid's only here for 1 year and he only plays, you know, 28 games or less, I don't see it as a, you know, real development program in the same way that collegiate basketball is. But as far as promo goes, like LaMelo Ball was great for the league. His promo, his profile, fantastic.
He was. But it was fortunate that he actually played well. If he'd been a circus, you know, he comes to town and he's actually garbage. Like, I thought he'd be garbage because all I'd really seen of him before it was those Drew League or whatever the league is that they play in, the, you know, the YMCA equivalents where he's jacking up Academy everything. You know, like, it's just a joke. Now he was better than that, which is a fortunate thing. But if he'd been garbage, it would have just been embarrassing. It would have just been the NBL desperately trying to grab attention. Or notoriety. And I think that does a disservice to the people who are actually competing in the league professionally.
Yeah, I get that. I also think, would his term have been a failure had he gone to, say, Perth Wildcats? They'd still won the championship and he'd just come off the bench and played 10 to 15 relatively quality minutes. Would it have still been the same? And my answer is probably yes. His profile would have still carried it through. So I'm still, I can see the appeal of this thing. It should not be at the forefront, but I think they're operating with it in the right way. They're just keeping it in reserve. Like, if a kid comes up who wants to come, who's high profile, who could contribute, it's there. And if it's not, like most of the teams last year, didn't bother with it because it just didn't, the lightning in a bottle didn't strike, and therefore they shelved it, which makes sense. But going back to this Nazaiah Carter stuff.
Yep.
So in Ulch's report, he obviously quoted sources. We're not going to go off on sources. That's just the writing convention of the time now. I've had my gripes with it in the past. Now I don't. Now it's just part of it, and it's I don't even see a problem with it. My minor gripe, though, is with the term finalizing a deal. What constitutes finalizing a deal? Is that they've both shown interest. One has shown interest. There's a contract written in black and white ink, and it's signed. There's a contract put on the table, and it's not signed. You know, finalizing a deal. Yeah, it's relatively descriptive, but also incredibly open-ended. And also, this is my big gripe about this whole thing and the backlash thereafter. Melbourne United should be afforded the right to finalize such a deal in private. Melbourne United's morals got dragged through the mud on social media when they were still in the process of finalizing the deal. And within the finalizing the deal, I would think the description of that would include working out whether the candidate you've signed is under any criminal or semi-criminal investigations or accusations.
Yep.
And I think this is where you've got to be careful about jumping the gun on this stuff, because all of a sudden it's like, Melbourne United, how could you? And Melbourne United, they're going, we're just in preliminary talks. Now, maybe there was a deal on the table, but until we announce it, a man's allowed to sit in thought is what I'm getting at, Andrew. Do you know what I mean?
Yep. I think the question is who actually makes the deal, because the NextStars is an NBL program,
right?
But then the players are farmed out to the teams.
Good so point.
Who has the contract? Is it the NBL that signs them and then allocates them the club?
I believe so.
Does the club take ownership of the player? Ownership's a horrible word, but do they take responsibility for the player? Because the money comes out of the NBL, but is it direct from NBL or is it filtered through the club? I don't know.
Because it's sort of like a ballot system where Nazaiah Carter or anyone else would have put his name in. Teams sort of go, okay, we're kicking the tires. All right, we're interested. We come in. So this whole thing of the reporting of Melbourne United finalizing a deal, wouldn't it be the NBL that's finalizing a deal and then palming him off onto, or not palming, but taking him then to Melbourne United? So this whole thing, I was just like, and also ESPN or Olgan Ulich was the only one reporting it. It wasn't on Bleacher Report. It wasn't on, you know, the usual kind of basketball or college basketball sites. It was only ESPN AU.
Yeah.
And then a wee bit on the thing. But what's interesting as well, I don't look down my nose at Olgan Ulich, by the way. I believe he's a freelancer at ESPN. I did contact Olgan to sort of ask a few questions. He hasn't replied as yet. But I believe he's a freelancer with ESPN, having been let go from Fox Sports in April with COVID.
Right.
And he's just a storyteller for hire. you know, as are all journalists, you know. So he wrote a story and sold it to ESPN. His responsibility really ends when he sells it to ESPN. What they do after that and what stories they put under their masthead and whether or not they wave any red flags about what's in the report, that's on them. And they didn't raise any red flags on this article that didn't have the usual, you know, Melbourne United were reached for comment and declined. It didn't have, you know, no response from the NBL. So my thought is, you can't go back and read the original article. It's either been retracted or altered.
Okay.
So obviously the league was a bit upset with it, but I just hope Olgan got paid twice. He wrote an article. He had to go and alter it. Man, he dusts his hands. Like, I sold it. You know, I wrote it. You didn't have to buy it.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my thing about it.
But the NBL they were pretty quick to distance themselves, weren't they? They put out a statement, said this is not
happening. There'd be some heat on this one. That once this came out, the pitchforks were sharpened.
Man.
The tiki torches were lit. People wanted blood on this one. And I was like, hang on, no one signed. They're just thinking about it. Relax. A man's allowed to sit in thought. You're allowed to look at these things. You're allowed to investigate. You're allowed to finalize a deal in private.
I mean, my thought was that even if they can sign him all they like, but he's still got to get through immigration.
he might not even get
into the country. So it's all a bit premature.
So, yeah, I'm not being critical of Olgan. Like, he sold a thing, receipt, paid in full. The Milky Bars are on me. Money in your pocket. Yep. It's on ESPN. It's editors now. I want to talk about the outrage of it, though. Like, people were really upset with this on Facebook and Twitter. And I've seen, like, this is such a bad look and blah, blah, blah. To people out there, I'd say you got to read between the lines a bit better and be a little bit more discerning. My favorite was when people were holding up the article of the allegations. Like, okay, here's what this kid's been accused of. And it was from a student newspaper.
Right.
A campus newspaper. And not to discredit what they do. I think the Seattle Times also comment on it as well, but people were holding up this campus newspaper. And my thought is, my question to people would be, is a campus newspaper, bless their heart, sure they're working hard and do well, but is that the caliber of news you want to hold up as reporting on a professional league on the other side of the globe? And I was like, this is, you know, see through the lines here, you know, it was not a good look. And it was a classic case of the tail wagging the dog, as you said, where it was sort of reporting on reporting without perhaps going to the primary stuff, which
This is the story of the internet, and this is how people like Donald Trump get elected. you know, like nobody
reacting to the reaction.
Nobody looks at sources. It's just who can create the most outrage.
But I don't put that onus. I put that onus on the reader. People should read it and go, "Huh, signing. Well, that's a bit interesting. There's none of this. There are the allegations. Oh, hang on. At the end of the article is a request for donations. I'm going to reserve my outrage. I'm going to put there's a reservoir of outrage out in the world already. I'm going to keep mine in my pocket until there's a drought. And that would be my advice to NBL fans. Wait until official releases.
Yeah.
I think that's the number one thing, or be a little bit more discerning, read a little bit deeper. I think that's important.
Yeah. The one thing I will say is the level of outrage does show that society is moving forward, because there would have been a time and a place where it would have been, boys just getting up to mischief. Don't worry, probably just cracked on a couple of chicks, and what's the big deal? I think we pat ourselves on the back, people. We are making some forward progress.
If the allegations are true, there's some serious stuff for sure.
I
don't want to sound like I'm trivializing at all. It's very serious, but at the same time, I'm a big fan of due process and just reserving judgment, just waiting, reserving judgment and critical thinking. You know, I'm a big fan of that. But yeah, if it had become official, then the reaction is warranted. But yeah, you're allowed to take some time and look at the finer point of the deal. That's
it'll be interesting. I hope we continue to follow this story and just see how it does play out, whether, you know, criminal charges are placed, you know, because I think that will be the real measure, right?
That would be my standard of proof for the outrage. But anyway, that was that. On lighter and more positive news, Adam Ford hired a Sydney Kings coach. Your reaction?
I thought it was fantastic. Really, really happy. I mean, I don't know the guy personally, but he's always seemed to be a very affable kind of dude. Everybody who does know him raves about him. And I've always been impressed with his demeanor on the sidelines.
And he's young and he's cool and he's hip. Sydney love their young, hip coaches, don't they?
They do. Yeah, yeah. It's like, no wonder he had to go over there. You know, it's smart move.
Smart move.
But yeah. I noticed he's shaved down the beard, so it's not as bushy as it has been. He's gone back to a, you know, still a beard, but it's just like a number three all over. It's like, mate, it's the corporate world might be getting to him already.
Also interesting, he may be the first visibly tattooed head coach in the NBL.
It's a good point.
Yeah, I have no way of proving that, but visibly tattooed. Like, he's got tattoos on his palm, the back of his hands. So
yeah,
one gripe of this is the moment Weaver left. It should have been like when you would announce the winner in a boxing fight. It should have been like Weaver holding up Ford's hand. Like we are straight away. We're going with Adam Ford.
We know this guy. We back him in. We don't need to search. We know we've got our man.
Yeah, and get the chance to put Adam Ford's name next to Will Weaver's in that NBA. NBA coach Will Weaver steps down. Assistant coach Adam Ford steps up. I think that's a better article or headline for both of them, and give Weaver the chance to go, yeah, this is our guy. I'm going to get in touch with Joey Wright and Rob Beveridge and see if they were called to interview for the gig. I doubt either were.
Yeah, I doubt it.
I don't know who else. Who else would have been a candidate for this?
Oh. No, nobody off the top of the head. Like,
no one who's
maybe it was one of these international searchers that teams always talk about, and then they
in the middle of a major pandemic, moving people around and interviewing in person. Yeah, it was always going to be an inside hire, I think. But it'd be interesting to hear if those guys even got a call. Yeah. You would bet, like me, that they did not get a call.
No,
I think so.
I think I saw Adam Ford was once fired as a. As the head coach for the WA SBL team.
No, I thought you were going to say for the Wildcats, but no, the SBL team. Wow.
I think it was an SBL team, if my memory serves. What a story, hey? Couldn't make it at the state level, but National League, you're okay. He was really good. He's done his, served his apprenticeship. Sure.
Well,
and
true.
I'm just excited because we've been stuck with the same group of head coaches for a long time now, and there's been nobody sort of breakthrough. I guess
Weaver.
Yeah, came out of nowhere, didn't he?
He's an international one too, but yeah, as far as local.
Yeah, Simon Mitchell maybe is the other new incoming coach. Everybody else has been around 100 times before. So I think it's cool that you get some new blood.
Yeah, I agree. I want to talk about the Sydney Kings. So now they go into this season. It's going to be an interesting year for them. We've spoken about it before, but this season seems to be it's losing a bit of luster for the Kings. You've lost Bogut, Lish, and Tate. Three starters. I call Lish a starter. He would have started if he wasn't.
Yeah. There. Yep.
Three big starters, a massive contributor and their best player last year. And then they lose their coach. And then they lose their logo. Like the Bad News Bears. What's going on here? So he's still coming into a pretty good situation, Adam Ford. There's still a pretty good team, but I'll just say his record is unimpressive in the NBL, 0-1.
The only way. Yeah.
And I worry about this team with the Kings because, you know, when Paul Smith came into it, they were on the way up. Yep. They had Bogut, the biggest name in the game, and a multimillionaire and a guy who those two of them seem to really get along with the sort of prankstery nature on Twitter and whatever and the jibes at Melbourne, you know. And then also, you know, Smith bought into this team having come off business. He retired from that and was looking for sort of a, you know, this was his transition out of the workforce he'd known for a long time. And I think he enjoyed having guys around who were also doing that with their sports. Bogut was transitioning out of the game. Lish obviously transitioning out of the game.
Yep.
So now it shifts to where it's like, oh, hang on. Now it's guys in their prime. Casper Ware, the new signing, you know, Newley and Kickett are really the only two guys who are doing that transition. So does that have as much appeal? Are they as motivated? Presumably they are, but, you know, it's lost a bit of the luster. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, definitely. It makes for an interesting season for them. That real transition. Is Angus Glover going to step up in the way that people vote? Xavier
Cooks. Is Ware going to bounce back? Yeah. Oh, sorry, I'm interrupting, Andrew.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, that's right. Is Cooks the franchise guy now, or is Casper still that? Like, who's the main man? It's almost like a bits and pieces team in a way that's, like you say, coming off this superstar era to suddenly be sort of a combination of parts.
they are
gonna be real
right now. They're anywhere from 6 to 3, and you know that's where they sit. We'll talk about them more. We'll talk about their signing in a second.
Yeah,
let's jump on to a former Sydney King, Matt Neilson, Boomers coach. A couple of weeks ago on this podcast, you said how you were interested to see where Gorgon was going to go with his assistants. Why were you interested, and how does this signing fit into this that question for you?
Well, I think it's interesting to see how much of an Gorgon imprimatur is being put on this team, and I think Neilson is a of the Gorgon school. He's an acolyte of Brian. And it, again, talking about changing the guard at Sydney, this is almost a changing of the guard at the national level. So your typical assistants, you know, Gleeson, Will Weaver was one.
Weaver.
They haven't had a look in. We've gone down a generation to Matt Neilson. So
yeah, right.
It's a real change. And I think perhaps it's a recognition that they needed a bit more youth or a bit more, you know, ability to relate to a younger player, perhaps.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Neilson comes with big raps about his ability to talk to people and
relatability. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he's been there, done that. He's been a player under Gorgon. So maybe if players have never worked under Gorgon before and they get pissed off, they can go to Matt Neilson and say,
right.
What's he doing? And he's like, don't worry, he's got a plan. He's got a plan. Follow the master.
My thought is, what does it say? What does this hiring communicate to the likes of Will Weaver, Gleeson, Beveridge? I think Beveridge at this point, I'm so sad to say, I'm not going to keep bringing up his name in coaching positions. I just, so many have come and gone in his time, and it's incredibly sad, but I'm not going to bring up that name anymore.
Yep.
I think it puts a line through Gleeson as well. I think that's it for him. You're a Wildcat coach. Good luck and good night and good luck.
Yep.
Weaver, you know, over in the US in a year where borders and plane travel, he was fighting an uphill battle to get this gig. But it does sort of suggest that, you know, the lead assistant would typically be the one most likely to take over from Gorgon when they're done. So that seems to be the direction they're going in. And I've seen, you could use the words, they're grooming Matt Neilson to take the top job. I wouldn't worry about grooming Matt Neilson for the top job. I just worry about Matt Nielsen's grooming full stop. I think let's do something with the hair. Let's tighten the beard up a bit.
It's hard to grow a beard when you don't have a chin.
Poor Matt Neilson. I saw a photo the other day. I was like, let's get a razor. Give me 20 minutes. Let's get some conditioner. I'll get you looking fabulous when I'm done. Anything else to add on this hiring or?
No, look, I should make it clear that I'm not against it. I actually think he's a really good coach, and I like him. I like him as part of the Boomers makeup. I think it's really good. But, yeah, just a clear indication that this is a Gorgon program, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
He's putting his marks on it.
Let's move on to the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. I want to talk about their new signing and then the way that team's shaping up as a result. Kiefer Sykes. Ever heard of him? Ever seen him play, Andrew?
The only Kiefer I've ever heard of before is Kiefer Sutherland.
24. If this guy wears number 24, that'd be serendipitous. 6 foot, 82 kilos, 26 years old. He's a member of BDA Sports Management. It's a pretty big agency, so that speaks to somewhat of his pedigree. Pretty poor with Panathinaikos, but only in 4 games. Yeah, they were a team in transition. Their owner was looking to sell the team. He had thugs visiting his house last year that the owner, this year, late this year. His 4 games numbers were really poor. But even again, let's go a bit further back. Armani Exchange Milan, which is the league there. 12 games, 7 points per game, 35% from the field, 2 assists. Not impressive again. Huge numbers in China. No,
you could go over China and dominate, mate.
I guarantee it. Thank you. I appreciate that. Do we look into the China numbers as little as we look into the European numbers, though? You know, the China numbers are really good. We kind of dismiss them. Do we dismiss the low European numbers? Where do you sit with this guy, Andrew?
Well, I mean, without having really seen him, it's hard. But we always talk about the NBL being such a league on the rise, and that we're the second best league in the world, that kind of thing. So, if you're going to hold that argument, you've got to hold the argument that stats in European leagues matter, because you know, if
they're a data point, you can't ignore that they are something to go by. Yeah,
yeah, right. Yeah. Having said that, though, I'm actually sort of positive that he might be a good fit for this team. I don't think Southeast Melbourne need another shooter. I think they needed somebody who can penetrate, and it seems like this might be the guy who can do that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So yeah, I'm looking at this as being almost like this is a signing that puts pressure on Cam Glidden and Stevens to step up big time. Because when that ball flings out, you got to hit that shot.
Yeah, tell me about it. We talk about how stats in the EuroLeague or whatever, it's hard to tell because they run a very different style, but also situational stuff. A player can land in a situation in Europe or any league where it's just, he's just totally at a loss. It's not working personally, professionally, as well as on the court. So, but I mean, whereas Robertson right now, he's scoring 15 points a game on 50% from three in Spain.
Yeah.
You know, and the compromise, you know, of course the comparison's going to be made that this is the Robertson replacement. So that's a toughie, but
we still don't know why Robertson left, do we?
It was a weird thing
because quite happy. I thought he was happy. He enjoyed it. He called it like an NBA lifestyle, and then bang, out the door.
So as soon as they were talking about bringing him back, was he gone? It was very peculiar.
Yeah, so I'm not sure whether maybe, you know, you like they would still rather have John Robertson. This is the next best guy.
Mm-hmm. And he was just priced out. This is the thing with the NBL. I'm commenting on the NBL if I can depart for a second. The NBL is kind of like having an alcoholic in the family. It's like, shh, we can't talk about that. Like, shh, no, we can't. No, don't talk about that. Like, oh, he's just had a long day. No, he's not drunk. He's just tired, you know? Or it's like, he's asleep. Don't wake him up. It's the most hush-hush league on the planet. But going back to this one, I like him as a player, but I just don't like the way this team is shaping for a whole bunch of reasons. Obviously, I think this team would have been better off preserving the shooting it had and adding one of Glidden or Turungi and getting defense and attack from either Drimmick or Dech. I feel like Sunday Dech should have been the guy for this team.
Yeah.
I think both for him personally and for Southeast Melbourne. I don't think Adelaide's as good a spot for him because Sloan and Giddy, they look really keen on those two and he's going to lose minutes to them. Whereas Southeast Melbourne, Magin had left. He was going to come into that spot. They need a defense. Hello. He can attack the rim. You lose a bit of shooting. But if they kept Robertson, it would have been a nice pairing. I feel a bit deflated about how that went down.
Yeah, I'm looking at the roster and thinking, where are the points going to come from?
Let's do that. Their starting lineup. Sykes, Glidden, Turungi, Creek, Moore. Have you got the same starting five as me?
Yeah, yep. Creek's good for 20, I suppose.
Yep.
Turungi, well, Mr. Hot and Cold, but I wouldn't.
I'm a fan of him. I'll ask you this question, Andy. Who are you more confident is going to have a bigger bounce back year, Turungi or Glidden?
Glidden.
Really? I'm going with Turungi.
Okay. Watch this space. All right.
My rationale is 26 turning 27, no injury concerns. His stuff was confidence. I feel like you can get confidence back in a heartbeat. I've spoken to Simon Mitchell. He's a confident, fun guy, wants you to run and shoot. I think that confidence comes back like that for him.
Okay.
Whereas Glidden, there's an element of the bad back, the bad feelings with the boom. I don't know what happened there, but you know, it's an injury stuff. He's 31, turning 32.
Yeah.
You're talking about a guy who, you know, Turungi's hungry. Turungi's mid-20s. Like, this is it. You're in your prime now. What have you got? Whereas Glidden, it's like, you know, well, what other interests have I got? I think he's got a young family and stuff. You know, I look at the person. What do you think about this team? I've got a strong opinion I'm about to launch into, but before I do, I want your sort of final word on this team.
I think they're going to be a team that has probably they'll have some really ripper games, I think. They'll be the hot and cold team. There'll be some games that'll just be awesome to watch, lots of fun. Other games, I think they'll just be underwhelming, and I think they'll just struggle. And I think they'll just be outclassed.
Right. Matthew Palombi asked the question, are they better than last year? On Twitter, he asked it.
No, they're not. No. The only thing they had is like last year they had a lot of injury worries. Which really disrupted their whole season. And they always felt like they were playing catch up with that situation.
Yeah.
This season, you know, they're going in primed. They're not better. I mean, they've lost grown man. Grown man business. Steal a line.
Look, I mean, Sykes, Glidden, Turungi, Creek, Moore versus Robertson, Madgson, Creek, Wesley and Pinot. They're very equal, but yeah, I thought last year's was better. When healthy, as you say. Here's my strong opinion.
Okay.
This changes, all right? Whatever. I think Tommy Greer, GM of this team, NBL nice guy. Everyone loves it. Never not got a smile on his face. Very charming guy.
Handsome. Handsome as well.
Handsome. Very strapping. Beautiful.
Talk about great beards and Matt Nielsen. Look at Tommy Greer's beard. Oh, it's
never a foot out of place. It's manicured to the nines. But listen, I think he learned too well from his mistakes last year. I think last year they kind of made their mistakes and this year they've learned from it, but they've kind of swung too far to fix them. Also, I think he's let sort of friendships and a little bit of that NBL fraternity get in the way of his better judgment. Letting NBL friendships get in the way in the business of building a basketball team.
Yep.
And here's what I say. And I've got a couple of points to make. So they liked Kyle Adnam, right? I think Mitchell's a fan. I think Greer's a fan. He's a newly appointed captain. They seem to like him. So I think with Robertson, they were like, no, we can get that small points production out of Adnam.
Yep.
And they've gone with that. And I feel like that's maybe in the fear of cannibalizing his minutes, they've misevaluated him. Or even maybe they didn't go after Detch so hard because they thought the same thing. There's only 80 minutes in our backcourt and we feel like Kyle Adnam's good enough for 25 volt.
Yep.
I get that vibe. I think this team is a little too local centric and a little too local sympathetic. I think they are too trusting and too optimistic about Cam Glidden at 31 and Turungi. I think if you're going to put your stock in someone turning around the career, you can kind of put it in on one guy, but to put it on two guys, it feels like it's too many chips. Don't you feel that way?
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. And then who have you got backing up? You're Adam Gibson. I mean,
he's going to miss six 4 to 6 games. He does every year. And you know that about him. That's not a criticism. At one point, you just are what you are. And then
Mr. No Free Throws, Kendall Stephens.
And Mr. No Free Throws. I don't know. There was someone banging on about that all year. But anyway, he was hurt. But listen, here's the main thing, I think. I think they've grossly misevaluated their team from last season. I think they've got the blinkers on. They're too focused on that need for defense and distribution.
Yeah.
When I think if you looked at their performance last season and you looked at the follies of that team, you wouldn't immediately go, oh, we don't play defense and we don't have a distributing point guard. I don't think that's what you'd say. You'd say, if you're looking at it really Occam's razor or Occam's razor to this thing, you'd go, we whiffed on our imports. They had three imports.
Yep.
Benson was a whiff and Wesley was a whiff because he got injured. And he's a great player. I like him, but he got hurt. Yep. He missed 20 games. That's a whiff. Mm. Act of God, but so it happens. And then injuries to Gibson and Creek. Really hurt them, as well as that little bit of an irregular fit with Creek and Wesley. They did kind of cannibalize their effectiveness on the floor a little bit. And then a brutal end to their schedule. So you can't do anything about the schedule. That is what it is. You get Creek healthy. Creek was coming off a freakish load. He had FIBA World Cup and all through China. I don't know if you've ever traveled through China. I hear it's a bit difficult.
Yeah.
He'd done the NBA thing before. He was flying across the planet. He's up. He's down. Is he in the league? Is he not in the league? This year he comes in, you know, with a soft landing. You upgrade on Benson. Wesley takes care of itself. Magin wasn't up to it. He's gone. You know, so the team was kind of riding itself, and I feel like they felt the need to make a swing when really they needed to just you know, play the safe spot. Maybe go for the one or two runs instead of the four or the six.
Yeah.
And that's my strong opinion. And I feel it came out of a place of there's too much faith in the locals, too much faith in Cam Glidden, I think. And that's just me.
The one other thing that strikes me, and they're all good points. Sorry not to dismiss that. Excellent summation. Look, is that one of the problems I noticed last year is that Robertson was just a zero presence defensively. Not because he didn't try. He was just too short. Like, guys would just shoot over him. It was like he wasn't there. And to me, it was like, you guys need to get a bigger guard.
And that's where Detch. I think they had to get that guy.
They haven't done it. They've just, like, their new import looks like John Robertson. You know, he's same small.
Yeah,
5'11", I think he is. It's exactly the same problem.
He's 6 feet tall in shoes.
And then you've got him and Adnam, who are basically shorties. Yeah. Gibson has passed his prime. He was good defensively, but he's well.
I still like him. He's a great closer in the last 4 to 6 minutes. Love him in that role, but can he give you 30, 25 minutes of good defense now? I don't know.
I'm thinking they needed somebody more like a Scotty Hobson type player.
Yeah,
Somebody who could hand almost like a 1-3, you know, they could do a bit of both. That's what I think this team needed. And I guess they didn't go that way because they're saying, well, we've got Turungi and Glidden. So too much crowding.
You're gonna put Scotty Hobson next to Glidden and Turungi. You can't. Not you, the editorial. You like as a team.
Yeah, I know.
That's not what you're going in for.
So I just think, I think they're going to have the same problem. The backcourt's going to be too small and it's not going to be able to go with the other teams.
Yeah, I feel like, and also if you're a person out there in basketball and you think you can replace John Robinson's, not only his shooting production, but his kind of the gravity around his shooting, how much of a threat he was off the ball, coming off a pick. He was a vacuum for defenders.
Yep.
If you think you can replace that with Cam Glidden, that they are not the same thing. They are not the same thing. That guy flew around the court, Robinson. He flew around the court. He'd get his shot off in a heartbeat. Don't forget how many games he turned. I thought he was fantastic. I think letting go of him was a real mistake. And I hear all that stuff about the backcourt. I hear that. I feel like you could have addressed it. You could have hidden Robinson off ball. I really feel like that.
Yeah.
In this coming season, I feel like if they got Dech and their lineup was Robinson, Dech, and then let's say Turangi, or maybe you go with Glidden, and then Creek, and then a little bit of Wetzel, a bit more. Yanni Wetzel I like, by the way.
Yeah,
But it's interesting to say about Hobson and going that way where they could have gone with, you know, that import. I do like that idea. It's a question of how good was Yanni Wetzel. Like, is he capable of defending the hoop? I kind of really like him. A soft-shoed big guy, comes from tennis, looks like he can move. I would rather put my faith and optimism in not going with a big import and pushing all the chips in on Wetzel, or pushing my chips in on Sunday Dech being able to hold up a smaller backcourt defensively, or even a name that, let's say you went with Robinson and you were like, oh, we need more distributing. I'd put my faith in on Creek or someone like Anthony Drimmick, had they gone after him, being able to attack the basket and make things happen. I'd rather put my faith in on those guys than putting all my faith in on Cam Glidden and Turangi turning around their seasons from last year. That's just me. That's what I think anyway.
Gonna be interesting season.
Oh, it's gonna be great. I really look forward to it. If nothing else, great storylines for them. If it goes well, all power to them. If it goes poorly, just as interesting to see.
Yep.
Jumping over, because we talked about South Melbourne for ages. Brisbane Bullets signed a guy, Vic Law, 24 years old, small forward, power forward, 20 points, 8 rebounds in the G League. What stock do we put in that?
Yeah, what do you think?
I mean, he's Patterson's replacement.
Yep.
No matter what way you slice it. And so the question comes, is a 24-year-old out of the G League the same as replacing a 29-year-old professional in Lamar Patterson?
No.
No.
But having said that, I like him. I think he would do really well. I think he's going to...
Same.
I think he's really good for this team. I think he might just add the X factor that this team needed, because they were heading in for the all boring awards, weren't they?
They were. I will say, I've got it written here, because I think the other mistake I made with this team is watching their preseason games, because they just looked terrible and I buried them. I feel a little bit better about this team is what I've got written here. But ultimately, is it not just the same team as last year without Patterson? How could they be better is the question I've got. And but no, you're right. They add a bit of athleticism, but it's still the same. If you were evaluating their last year, what would you say their biggest problem was?
Well, where do I begin?
I mean, this is a team that finished fifth, though. Or did they finish? Yeah, they finished fifth.
Yeah, I never rated them. I never understood the attraction.
They've lost Magne. Don't forget that.
They've lost their best
big.
They've lost their best import, who was potential league MVP.
Yep.
They've still got a point guard who isn't.
Yeah, exactly. To give you time to think, when I say what was their biggest problem last year, it was the Sobey experiment. He's a two. They lacked that poise, and they got poise out of Patterson when he had it.
Yeah,
but they didn't have that.
But they're persisting. They're doing it again.
What's the definition of stupidity? Yeah. Definition of either stupidity or craziness. Doing the same thing but expecting a different outcome. It's the same team.
No.
I think they needed to do something different with their imports. Who's their other import? The wing. The wing. Orlando Johnson or something like that.
That's right. Yeah. The league needs to update these team pages, by the way.
Well,
I'm just looking at the NBL website. They haven't got them on there.
So I look at that and I go, they've just replaced like for like what they had last year.
Yep.
I don't think this is a team where you go, oh, if we make a few fine tunings, we're right back in it. No, that's not what your team was. You needed to do something really different. And the answer, I think, was go out and get let Sobey play off the ball. And I don't even mean get a point guard. Let Sobey spend more time on the break, catching it and dunking it, rather than pushing the break.
Because he's good at that. He's proven it.
Isn't it painful? Isn't this just frustrating for you? With
yes.
Business?
Yes. Just like, why? You've got this, it's like you've got this weapon and you're just keeping it locked up, separated from its ammunition. It's like, no, bring it out of the gun cabinet, load it. You caught the bullets, for goodness sake. Come on. You've got one right there. Shoot the thing.
I like that. I like that. Let's go to another signing.
Oh, is
that
anything else? I just want to finish up on Brisbane. The big thing I think this Vic Law signing says to me is how much pressure is there on now on Matt Hodgson to stay out of foul trouble? Man, you got to stay on the court.
And Harry Froling, I mean, you talk about putting your chips in on someone. Hugely foul prone, and Harry Froling didn't look good in the preseason. Yeah. No one did, but boy, oh boy, Magne left out.
If I'm playing Brisbane, you know, I'm getting my. Is it Hubie Brown? Now, if I'm coaching,
he's one of the best we have in this league here. Yeah, he always says that.
If I'm going against Brisbane, I'm going into the post and I'm going to put lots of pressure on Hodgson and Froling, get them in foul trouble early.
Because that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the key, and then they're stuffed.
Yeah,
like, it's old school. I know, like, you know, teams like to go up and shoot three
or the pick and roll. Put Hodgson and say, we're going to make you move your puppies, big fella.
Yeah, that'd be
good. That is going to be really interesting. Yeah.
I'm nervous for Brisbane. Don't think they're going to be good.
You think fifth is their ceiling? Actually, what's their ceiling?
Sixth.
Yeah, I think if their imports are outstanding, they're still not making the playoffs. Yeah.
No.
Happy to move on?
Yep.
Kings, Jarrell Martin. Yeah. 26 years old, 6'10", 108 kilos. We'll go through all this BS. Power forward, center. Your reaction when you saw the signing?
I like it. Like, you got to get a guy. You're trying to replace some players. You're trying to find some inside grunt.
You're trying to replace Bogut and Tate.
And Tate, yeah. in one guy. That's not an easy task.
Good luck.
How's that pitching? You know, you're scouting around. You're saying, right. Jarrell, this is what we're going to need from you. You know, Andrew Bogut?
This is like Ringo and George Harrison. Like, listen, Paul and John have left the band. It's all right. It's okay. We've got Phil Collins and someone else coming. No, it's not going to be good. It's not going to happen. It's not sweet music.
You are equivalent to an NBA number one draft pick who made the third round, third team.
And a guy who just signed a three-year deal.
That's you. You're him in a nutshell. Both those guys. We've got you.
Got it. So did you read Liam Samaria's free agency analysis on NBL.com? I encourage everyone to go and have a read.
I did, yes.
What do you think about
it? Trying to remember what I read.
If I can just say, while you think about that, scattering reports about players, I hate to give them. I hate the way, he's got a front face and body. It's all garbage into his team in the league. Not garbage, but it's so difficult to say anything of any merit. But Liam does a pretty good job of it because I think he is so open-ended. He's like, here's what I think, 2-3 lines, goodbye.
Yep. Yeah.
I think he's not the American ones that are so over the top and ridiculous. I quite like the way Liam does.
Yeah, not doing clips of, you know, plays.
But here he is off the 45.
Yeah.
He shoots 32%. Now, don't be wrong, that's a high school kid in front of him. But if we translate that to the NBA, it's like, what are you talking about? But sorry, Andrew, you were saying.
No, I was going to say the one thing that did jump out at me in looking at this guy is if I read the stats right, he's shooting 92% from the free throw line.
Love it.
That is amazing because if he
can. That is an upgrade on Bogut and Tatum.
Yeah, just put him close and put him in a situation where they're going to foul him. That could be his predominant weapon. You can't foul the guy, which is.
Yeah.
Totally different to what they had with Bogut.
Well, you could, and Tate. I mean, Tate was a 60% foul shooter.
Yeah.
That was sort of kept hush-hush. But he doesn't seem to have the sort of, and I've only seen the clips, but you know, he looked pretty good in his highlight reel because he didn't miss a shot. But he didn't seem to have that super run up and down style. Like Tate was a real end-to-end guy with his size.
Yeah.
This guy really appears to be, and Santa Maria writes about it. His energy is more of a like barrel you into the key way, throw a few pumps, get you going. And I think, move from the mid post, plow your ass type energy. I really, really quite like it. And I think that plays well in the NBL. I think that, you know, he's not that athletic dunk on your type. I think that almost works to his advantage in the NBL. And I also think what I like about him as well, certainly got the pedigree. And he sort of has the pedigree that in the past would exclude him from the NBL. But with a couple of couple of really recent revelations in the league has become available. I think the Tate signing in Houston thing was a big appeal. Like, look, you're a similar player. We can mimic what's happened.
Yep.
And I think also the Chris Pongrass connection. Pongrass was in Memphis Grizzlies. This guy was drafted by them. Those two situations or precursors to the signing are very unique to the Kings. So it's like, oh, maybe they're getting a guy they wouldn't normally have got. And I do get that impression with this guy.
Yeah. And just look at the other stats from the 1920 that they provided. So it was only 9 games. So the volume was low. But he shot 55% from threes as well. So I'm thinking,
if how many did you take? Did you see how many?
I haven't looked into that. But if that is anywhere near, I mean, it's obviously going to come down from there. But if it's anything near reasonable, they're going to be just a they're going to stick to the Sydney formula by the sounds of it, which is shoot a lot of threes.
Mm.
You're going to have him and Kick It and Casper.
Yeah, you would think so.
Just jacking them up.
One thing I also want to say about this is what's interesting is it's a 2-year deal, quote unquote, with the second year being a mutual option, which that's my favorite. It's like, well, you've got a second year if we both decide that you want. Isn't that free agency? What's the
difference? Yeah, anyway. You're right. It's a bit pointless, isn't it?
But does that second year, what I think, it might be a bit of a ploy by the Kings. I don't know. It's a bit of a ploy by someone to get into the NBA buyout scenario. You know what I mean? Well, I'm just thinking out aloud here. So he's got that second year. Maybe the Kings can go, well, we think, maybe they said in a negotiation with him, like, we think you're really good. We think the NBA, like with Tate, is going to come sniffing at the end of the year. And we want to do this mutual second option so that we can be a part of that NBA buyout. And maybe he's gone, maybe as a ploy of being said, like, we think so much of you that we think an NBA buyout is possible and we want a part of it. Maybe that sort of swayed his thinking into like really concreting in his mind the idea that the NBA is viable and likely after this year in the NBL. I don't know. I'm really just talking. I think it's a negotiation ploy, perhaps. I don't know.
It's interesting.
But even still, second year, always good when guys sign multi-years.
Yep.
We talked about the Southeast Melbourne after their signing in Brisbane. Let's go back to the Kings and have a quick chat. Front court depth. They've got this guy, Jerome Martin.
Yep.
Cooks, Moller, Kickett, Hunter. You talked about headhunting Matt Hodgson of Brisbane. You look at not the biggest front line. Martin's obviously good and Cooks is good, but then Moller, Kickett, Hunter. If Kickett regresses, Jordan Hunter wasn't up to it last year. No. Craig Moller's not exactly, a huge body. He's more of a 3-4. So
Cooks is undersized. Like, he plays big, he's a good rebounder, but he's not huge.
They need 80 minutes out of those two spots. Do they have enough is my question.
I think they're just banking on outscoring. Yeah,
Martin being really good.
Yeah, but God, it's an intriguing mix. I mean, you can't replace Bogut. That's the thing. I think that I sort of think that they were hoping deep down that Bogut would roll around one more time.
Oh, for sure they were.
And that solves all the problems. Not to be. So I think they're just going to make do.
I'll say this much. There are 80 minutes out of that front court in the 40 minutes at 4 and 5. I'm excited for Cooks. If he's a player, because he has got a clear runway to 35 plus minutes.
Yep.
Him and Martin, they are there to take, and Kickett will back you up for the rest of the 10 or 15.
Yeah.
And then if Moller and Hunter get in the game, good for them. But he has got, he should be rubbing his palms together. I don't think a single player in the NBL has more of a runway to success than Xavier Cooks, and I will be watching. As much as when players have a runway, I'm like, great, I hope you do well, but if you don't, I don't want to hear any excuses. Sorry to throw down that gauntlet for no good reason. Never met the guy. Talking tough to him already. What have I got here? Oh, yeah, I've already mentioned that. Yeah.
I've got nothing more on Sydney other than if you're going to lose your center, it's probably a good season to lose it because a lot of teams are losing centers.
So. Let's go to the odds makers. We looked at this TAB. We condone betting here, Andrew?
Do what you want with your hard earned, really.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as you do it legitimately. Don't go to the mafia.
Preferably not. But TAB have got out some betting on the games. You've seen them.
I have.
I can't say, who surprised. I'll ask you a broad rating question. Who surprised you on this list?
Melbourne?
Number one, $3.
Yeah, that's crazy.
you because
these bookies must be based in Melbourne. Like, must be. They must be Chris Golding fanboys. I'm not seeing Melbourne as number one.
$3. I like their team. I like them in the top four, but not number one at $3.
No, especially when you look at what I will get to it, but the odds of some of the other teams.
Yeah.
$3 is no.
Short, isn't it? And them too. Any other surprises?
What else did I have? I was surprised at Perth.
I was very surprised at Perth at $11. Yeah. Very surprised. Whew, $11. This is a Perth Wildcats.
Yeah. I'm not usually a gambler. I occasionally put like a couple of bucks on a game. But geez, I was tempted to get
I mean, as much as it's $11
house and
think about this though. I mean, this is where betting I do find a bit silly. $11. Okay, let's say we put $1,000 on the Perth Wildcats to win the championship. We have to wait the entire season, which may get stopped by COVID, just privately, just quietly. We have to make how much? What's 11 times 1,000?
It's 11,000.
Sorry, boozy lunch. So 11 grand. And we have to wait how long? About 6 months to get return on that money. Yep. I can make $1,000 into a lot more than $11,000 within 6 months of a season. So as much as it's a decent price, and then you're sweating the whole way through. So.
Too small. You're thinking too small. I'm talking mortgage money.
Okay, mortgage money. You're talking $100,000.
$100,000. Okay. Right. Now let's see. I'm gonna be debt-free in 6 months' time.
Any other surprises?
All I need is for Jesse Wagstaff to make some of those threes.
Yeah, good guy to bet on. Any other surprises? Melbourne, Perth?
No. They're probably New Zealand, perhaps.
Before that, I'll quickly go through it so people know what's going on.
Yeah, okay.
Bottom place, Adelaide 36 is $34.
Maybe I'm surprised at that. It should be like 75.
Hawks, next, $21. Tied with Brisbane, $21. Sixth, Southeast Melbourne, $15. Yep. Fifth is Perth. So the bookies have Perth not making
the final. Have they looked at the record? Do they know the Perth Wildcats finals record?
Perth Wildcats, it would never, over Jack Bendat's dead, but actually, no, we're not going to go. There would never happen.
30 never seasons in the finals and suddenly no.
The MVP, when has the MVP never not made the finals? Ridiculous. Perth at $11. And I'm not a Perth fan. I mean, I sound like I'm offended by this. I'm just offended by the maths of it. Fourth is the Sydney Kings at $7. Third is New Zealand Breakers at
$7. We just talked about that rubbish. They've got the work experience kid doing these numbers. I'm not taking it.
I've got a headache. $7 for Sydney. I just don't think they're... First of all, they're not better than Perth. And secondly, they're not at $7. Like... they're thinking that they're going to get better without Weaver. I don't know. New Zealand Breakers at $5, Cairns Taipans $3.50, and then, as you said, Melbourne United $3. Yeah. I've got no problem with those top three. I think Perth should jump ahead of Melbourne.
Yep.
And be somewhere in the mix of that, $5 conversation in the top three, four. Bizarre.
I think they forgot as well that Perth could potentially bring in another player. If Bryce gets his citizenship.
Oh, I don't think they've thought about a lot of things.
I think I'm talking myself into betting a heap of money on Perth at $11.
I don't know what the legality is about telling people to bet on Perth, but I would. I would definitely put, man, they win it. This is the Perth Wildcats. They weren't supposed to win it last year and they did.
I know. They win it like 30% of the time. They win the entire thing.
You've got a 30% bet. And also with Cotton, if Cotton naturalizes, this season is over. Forget it. You would have the MVP plus another import. And they could do it mid-season, save a bit of cash, and just absolutely sweep the finals. $11 Perth. Anyway, we're belaboring the point, I think. Let's move on to the preseason games just quickly. There are three lots of competition.
Yep.
Brisbane are playing Southeast Melbourne in, I believe, two games. Perth are playing Illawarra. Sydney are playing the Hawks as well. Not Illawarra, pardon me, the Hawks. I don't know when the games are. Look them up. They should be on Twitch, which is where I'll be watching. I don't know who would buy tickets to a preseason game. I'm not judging.
Apparently in Perth, everybody.
I know. I like, how do I get these tickets? I saw this on Twitter. And how do I? Where Twitter? It's preseason game.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, do you want to watch them run sets that they probably won't run in the normal season? Play a bunch of scrubs, a lot of minutes. Just It's like, it's just pathetic. Like, how can you get excited about preseason? I don't get it.
I actually encourage fans to watch these games fleetingly. Yep. 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. Get a very, very, very rough impression. Basically, you're looking at who's not in shape. That's the only thing you can take from the preseason. That's it. Has someone done something horrible to themselves? Because to look at how they play is, and I regret watching too much of the Adelaide-Brisbane games because it's distorted my thinking about them. Let's go on to the actual schedule. Five rounds have been announced. How do you like this as a fan and as a watcher?
Yeah.
How do you like this idea of them releasing five rounds at a time or a couple of rounds ahead of time?
I'm okay with it, actually. I mean, you know that they've all got to theoretically play each other the same amount of time. So there's not, you know, anxiety about, oh, will I get, if I get to see Sydney again? I think it's just, especially in this year, you're just trying to figure out travel, quarantines. It's totally fine.
I think the league's got a little bit of a, it's got to make sure that when they put out these calendars, it's very much a thing of like, here are the games, here's how fans get organized. You know, they've got to kind of lead people a little bit. It's not like you can just throw up the whole schedule and be like, you work it out. You've got to lead people through this. And I think one thing the league's got to do as well is realize that not everyone wants to watch every game. You got to be really selective, like put out your schedule, but also just put something out saying, here is the primo games from each round.
Yeah.
Just do it. You're not going to get everyone to every game, but you can get a lot of people to the best games. And just put that out and even put a gold, that'd be transparent. Just put a gold stamp. Perth are playing Sydney, it's a finals rematch. Bang. That's on that date.
Yep.
If you inundate people with the whole schedule, you risk losing all interest. I think if you just,
just the classic game of the, you know, this is the game of the round.
Is the game of the round.
And I think you're right. Yeah. Make it gold star, pump it up and then when that's on, make it a big production.
Yeah. That's what I think the WNBL should have done as well. I think they signed a great broadcast deal, every game live. But when I see every game telecast, that doesn't really blow my skirt up. I'd be more thinking I'd rather have one game or two games on that are done really well because, you know, you're spreading your telecast budget over eight games instead of just two.
Yep.
What time slot are those games going to be in? Because if they're in bad time slots, they may as well not even be televised.
Yep.
So, you know, I'd rather – I'm a big believer of, you know, you – a business is only ever three things. Do three things really well rather than 10 things okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, but first round of the schedule, what are you excited for?
I am hoping that they're going to stream on Twitch again this season, I hope.
Yes. I did see a Twitch logo on this.
That was a sneaky good streaming platform last year.
Yeah.
The quality was way better than what the SBS were giving out. It was good. You could turn off. I think you could turn off the commentary if you wanted to. Nobody took advantage of it, but you could commentate your own games.
Yes, you can. Well, maybe this season there might be two plucky redheads who might. Round one, Andrew. Who do you like out of round one?
I didn't even look at the rounds that closely, to be honest. So I could be
fine. That's fine.
But I think this is round one. Actually, I know it's round one. Perth versus Sydney.
Yeah, Perth versus Sydney, Jan 14.
You've got to love the grand final rematch. Bit unfortunate that the rosters are so different. It's a bit of a hollow feeling. They'll be unfurling the banner and, you know, going up against it, but really who cares? Like half the Kings don't care because they weren't there last year.
And some of them didn't show up in the finals either. Oh no. Oh, snip, snip, snip. That's horrible. I think, I wonder if Bogut will fly over for it. No, of course not. Why would he do that? The other one I like, the throwdown. I'm actually enjoying the throwdown. Yeah. I like it. But I appreciate two Melbourne teams going at it. I think that's a really cool little thing. That's Jan 10. They're opening. I mean, gee, they opened the season with this game and not the finals rematch. It is what it is, but that's okay.
Okay. We'll put it down to venue availability.
Yeah, why not?
I like the Melbourne matchup too. And that was the game last season that they started with.
It was awesome.
Southeast Melbourne won. It was an awesome game. It again.
Yeah, do it again. What else you got for me? Or what you think might be round two?
Because I didn't look around. The next game on my list as I was plucking them through was Hawks versus Phoenix.
Really?
Yeah.
That is okay. I do not have that game on here.
And I know it's a little bit obscure, but I think the split between these two teams could be really crucial.
You know,
I sort of think they're battling for as Gorgian would say, they're probably both going to be on the bubble. So I'm looking forward to a bit of aggro and animosity between
them. They are definitely that in that 5 to 6, 4 perhaps if the Hawks were really surprised. But actually, I just want to quickly go back to the odds makers. Yeah. Hawks, second bottom at 21 with Brisbane. Do you think that's unfair?
Yeah.
Southeast Melbourne of $15, one above.
See, I need to think about what I said for my power rankings the other week. I think it's a little unfair. The Hawks have a lot of sneaky talent. That's the interesting thing. It's just going to be how it gels.
Yeah,
if true. It gels. But I think Brisbane, just on the odds, I think Brisbane should be penalised just for being so boring every year.
They are pretty boring, aren't they?
Yeah.
Sorry,
I don't like them.
Misfiring, pardon the pun. I've got round two. I've got Cairns and Perth. I mean, that final series was fantastic to watch.
Yep.
And then also Cairns-Melbourne. Like, I just big Cairns round in round two. They're good teams. You know, Melbourne, Cairns, that's fantastic. That'll be fun to watch.
I reckon Cairns will pump Perth. They'll flog them.
In Cairns, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's good.
Perth have got two games in that round one, I believe.
Yeah.
And then they fly to Cairns, which is a huge trip. They always play poor over there. So that may exclude that from being a good game, but I was looking at more matchups.
Yeah.
January 23rd and 25th. Round three, or what you think might be your next
one. Well, my next game. Sorry, I didn't do it by rounds. Taipans versus Melbourne.
Oh, yeah.
That's a game that I like the look of.
That's Jan 25. That's the one I've got too. Yeah.
Yeah. This to me is a good measure as well. Well, how good are the Taipans going to be? Will they be rolling at this point? If they take care of Perth, and then if they clean up Melbourne, wow. Mm.
Yeah, are they going to be that team that, again, loses home? Like, if they get home court in the finals, that's a big deal for them. I mean, that's a really odd spot up in Cairns to go and play.
Yep.
Not just the arena, but also the location. It's a big deal for them getting that spot, as it is for Perth. If they get that home court advantage again, imagine if they had home court advantage last year.
Mm.
Perth would have been in big trouble. So
huge.
So are they going to again be this team that drops three games to what was Illawarra? You know, they can't be that team anymore. They shouldn't be that.
That's where they've got to grow, isn't it?
It'd be really disappointing if they do just drop these stupid games due to, I don't even know how they lost those. I still don't know. I've spoken to the assistant coach. I still don't know how they did it. The game I've got, Sydney-Melbourne, round three, Jan 30.
Yeah. You got to love a Sydney-Melbourne matchup. They're always good.
Always good. Always fun. In Sydney, which... Do you prefer to watch a Sydney-Melbourne matchup in Sydney or in Melbourne?
I prefer Melbourne. It always seems like the Melbourne crowds get into it a bit more. So I like it from the crowd buy-in. Sydney always seems subdued. I don't know if they actually are, whether it's a telecast thing. Speaking of telecast, I think the angles at Melbourne are better. I just like watching the games.
Good point, actually.
You're just too distant in the Sydney games where they put the cameras. Same with Perth. Perth's terrible to watch on TV.
That is true. It's a much good point. Yeah.
And Melbourne, I've only been to a Melbourne home game once, and it was really good. It was so nice to be sitting in that stadium. That is an excellent stadium.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah, I've been once
and
myself.
And it was so cheap to get a good seat.
Well, Sydney's cheap too. In fairness to the Kings and Curtis Bank Arena. You can get real close for, $80 to $100 and sit near the courtside. And, it looks pretty good from there, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Next one I've got here, Perth-Melbourne, Feb 5, which is round 4.
Yeah.
In Perth too. Like, are Melbourne serious? Are you going to win games in Perth?
Yeah.
You've got to do it at some point. You may as well do it in the regular season because you've got to do it in the finals.
Perth crowds hate Melbourne, so that makes it fun.
Yep.
Next game I had was Perth, New Zealand. Around after that one, I think. Question is, do the champs still have it? This will be a real test because I think New Zealand could be really good this year, and they could be the new barometer.
That is a good one. I didn't have that. That's a long trip, New Zealand to Perth.
Oh, yep.
Imagine another New Zealand-Perth finals matchup. Two teams just not body blowing each other. Ugh.
Do an international
transfer. Do a hub in Melbourne and just keep them there and get the play better out of them. Yeah, good one. I've got Cairns-Sydney, which would be February 15th, round 5. Again, Cairns. Like, I think Cairns are – I like them as the second title favourite to Perth. And I don't like Perth's roster as a title favourite. I'm going off reputation at this point with them and that allure of Cotton Become a Citizen. And I Cairns legit. Like, I feel like they're better than New Zealand.
Right. Yeah. Well, I had them as number one in my power.
Yeah, I remember. Right? Yeah. So that's why I'm excited for that matchup. You got anything else for me?
They're all the games I picked as must-watch TV.
Yeah, I think the slimmer your list, the better.
The thing that jumps out at me is we didn't mention Brisbane. We didn't mention Adelaide.
No, well, I have here. Patterson's return to Brisbane hasn't been scheduled yet, nor has Froling and Drimmick's return to Adelaide. They have not been put on the schedule yet, and they will be. They're always good view. I love grudge match stuff like that. Yep. A grudge match very seldom plays out well. Always find it becomes pretty average, but still always excited to see it.
I feel like there's enough bad blood there with the Adelaide situation.
The Adelaide one is genuine bad blood.
Could be fun.
Yeah, definitely. But it has to obviously be in Adelaide. I don't think it's the same thing if Adelaide go to Brisbane.
No, you're right. It's got to be the return.
Got to be the return. Yep. Happy to move on. Last one, your brother. Yep. Patrick Kenyon. How would we describe Patrick?
Patrick? Well,
business extraordinaire?
Yeah, he was a former financial planner, owned a financial planning business in Perth for many years. Parlayed that. You may have seen him on early morning TV shows such as Today.
Screen Time. Yep.
Yeah, you know, those sort of things. He did some TV work. Now he is a business mentor and he's actually based in Switzerland. The lucky bugger. But not so lucky because he's been in lockdown for ages, so sucked in. He knows his business stuff.
And for that reason, I sent him a message because you had posed it to me, or maybe I posed it to you. One of us posed it to the other about imports, because what a lot of people may or may not know is that the USA charges income tax on its citizens, even if they are living and working abroad. Is that the best way to put that, Andrew?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not a US citizen, so I know people, my brother included, who was born in the US. Mm. You know, had to deal with the IRS and how they manage tax and all that kind of stuff. So yeah,
they're one of two countries. Well, I'll read Patrick's answer in full. But yeah, essentially, so we had the question: well, do US imports pay tax both in Australia and if they're American in the United States? Do you want me to just read out Patrick's answer in full?
Yeah, please do.
So I said, "Hello, Patrick. Quick question for you: would a US import in the NBL pay tax in both Australia and the USA?" Patrick's reply. Are you ready? A simple question with a potentially complicated answer. Here are the assumptions. Player is a US citizen, but not an Australian citizen. Player is only in Australia for one season. Player is providing personal services in his own capacity, i.e. not as an employee of a company that is subcontracting his labor. Situation, short answer is yes. US is one of only two countries that tax their citizens on their worldwide income, regardless of where they are living. So USA would want income tax from him as if he still lived in the US. Australia would tax him as a non-resident, which means they would want at least 32.5 from $1 of his earnings. However, there is a tax treaty between the two, which means that there shouldn't be double taxation. In practice, especially with the USA, it's not always neat, but US tax rates are lower than Australian ones, which could mean that not all the tax credits get used. Bottom line, they will probably pay only slightly more tax than if they earned the same amount of money in the US, unless my assumption 3 is wrong. I don't have any idea. But if I were a player agent, I would set up a company in a low tax jurisdiction that employed my clients, then simply lease out their services and pay the player via this company. Second bottom line... Any player who needs to get tax advice, and there are very few firms that have the expertise, I would expect a bill between $10 and $20,000 just for the advice. Hope this helps. Yes, that helped a great deal.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
And send your invoice direct to Joe Core.
It could be 10. It could be 10,000. So what an interesting idea, though. The idea of an agent, be it a Lighthouse Sports or whoever else, creating a company, let's say it's by the dollar sports production, let's call it, and you hire your player, you sign them to the thing, and then you lease out their performances, and you do it out of a Channel Islands, Switzerland, an Ireland, and you lease out the thing to the – what an interesting idea. Genius. What did you take? What did you take from that answer?
Well, it's a great answer. It's very, very comprehensive. Fun. I can see that the time in lockdown has given him pause for thought.
Good time to ask him.
Got nothing else to do this afternoon. I think I'll type an email. I think it's an interesting insight, but it raises more questions than it answers. I want to know how this stuff works. I don't know how players are really employed. I mean, the Australian one's obvious, right? They're just a normal employee with a contract.
Paid, done, bang. Yeah.
Yep. Just
taxes normal.
But the American, like, everything about the Americans, I'm curious about. You know, is it a 6 month salary? Is it an annualized one?
I believe it's month by month.
Yeah. Okay.
They get a monthly salary fee.
Are they just their own person, like Patrick said, or are they through a shell company of some sort? How does this all work?
I have contacted, on the strength of Patrick's answer, I contacted a couple of agents who I'm in touch with, not extensively, but who I know of.
Yep.
And I said, hey, let's sit down on or off the airways and let's talk about this idea. Because if you haven't considered it, I think it's a nice little way to do business. Replies pending, just quietly.
Yeah, look, I'm just purely interested from a business operations point of view. Like, how do you do this stuff? Like, it's a world that I do not know at all, and I like to consider myself a lifelong learner. How can I get better and smarter? I can learn about how to do player agency.
Key word from the podcast today for everyone: lifelong learner. What a beautiful.
You can also be a lifelong learner by buying books from Booktopia.
There are many fine life learning books in our bookshop at booktopia.com. Use the link in the description to give me that precious 10%.
If you prefer to support the podcast more directly, subscribe to patreon.com.
Now, I feel like I didn't come here for this sort of shabby treatment. But if you do wish to support the podcast more, you can go to Patreon and sign up to the crap that I spam through to your email on occasion. Why not? Bit of fun.
I'm tempted to write an article.
Do it.
Do you have me?
Oh, of course I would. Of course I would. All right. But I think that we've reached, that's the end of it. A wide-ranging episode from reporting, NBL reporting to players, to teams, to betting, to lifelong learning and American and Australian taxation.
I'll tell you what, if you like the NBL, you've got your money's worth out of this podcast.
I think so. And if you've got your money's worth, hey, why not create an offshore subsidiary?
Hey, sweetie.
I'll pull it to you.